It's Matt Verderam. How you doing, Matt?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
All right, we're getting the answer from everybody out there. Last night, Celtics, what did you think? Fan interference.
Celtics.
Oh, Celtics. What did I think?
Red Sox.
Did we have fan
Sox.
Interference of the Celtics game
well,
that never happened?
Well, you got me. He put Celtics on my brain when he went ahead and said they were playing. But anyway, a Red Sox fan interference or a home run? What do you think?
It should have been a home run.
Yeah, we all agree.
No dog in the fight. I could care less who wins the series. But that was... That was a robbery.
Yeah. I love that.
It's funny. All four of us agree. It's amazing. So
I just don't know. I mean, unless you're just a Red Sox fan, you just don't want to admit it. I mean, the ball is clearly over the wall. Nobody reached over the wall. And if you read the rule, that's it. If the fan, once the ball goes over that imaginary barrier that goes above the wall, once it's in there, it's fair game. And I didn't see any reason why that should have gone the way it did.
I can't believe they can't do sports science or something and let us know exactly where that...
Oh, they will.
Yeah.
They will. There'll be episode after episode on that. There'll be an entire season on that play.
Exactly.
All right, Matt, you're eating your words on that Chiefs Pats or what?
You know, I said that I thought the Pats would score 40 points and they'd lose. Well, they scored 40 points.
Yeah, 43.
That was one of the best games I've watched in a long time.
Wow.
It was exciting. It was fun. When New England got up 24-9, I thought, okay, it's going to be a blowout. And then all of a sudden, Mahomes comes back, and he's trading haymakers with Brady. That game, in 2018 in the NFL, the way it is now, that game was everything you could want. And I hope to see it again, because that was as entertaining a football game as I've seen in the last handful of years.
Matt, can I ask you this, though? Are we mistaking good for close or close for good? Because, look, I don't want to be the guy who says, hey, I'd rather every game be 16-13, because I wouldn't.
Right.
But I also know at some point the NBA All-Star game stops being fun at 192 to 187. I mean, do you fear that we're headed too much towards Big 12 football? I mean, I don't know. Is 43-40 every week good?
No, it's not. And I actually like defense. I'm a defensive guy. I always have been. But I think in that circumstance, like most teams in the league just can't do what those two teams did on Sunday night. Most teams, even in today's climate, can't score 30 points consistently. A lot of teams can't score 24 points consistently. So, no, I think if that happened all the time, it would lose its luster. It would be boring. It would kind of become mundane. And listen, I think the NFL swung too far in the way the rules are. I think they favored the offense way too much. That being said, for one night, I thought that game was incredibly compelling. It was exciting. It was big plays. I thought that game was more about two teams having great offenses than it was about the defenses, although it has to be said. Like, both teams are an abomination defensively. And it just came down to a couple missed throws early by Mahomes and a couple of picks.
What was surprised you most about the game?
Once it started, the thing that surprised me most was I thought Belichick, as per usual, had a great game plan. They mixed up their blitzes. They mixed up their looks. That's why Hightower had that pick in the first quarter. It was such a nice design. You know, it looked like he was going to blitz, and he dropped out, and Mahomes just completely lost sight of him. But the thing that surprised me most was how quickly Mahomes seemed to start to understand what they were trying to do to him. I mean, that's his seventh career start. He didn't play well in the first half. People will forget that because of the way the game ended. But then he came out and he scored 31 points, and it was just a game of can you top this all the way to the end. I was surprised at how well a very young kid kind of figured out what was happening. And it ended up in a loss, but I was really impressed.
You know, Matt, I know you live in Chicago, so before I get to the Bears and the Patriots, any ill effects after that Dolphin game? What a great game that one was, huh?
I'll tell you, Brocktober. I was shocked. When I heard that he was starting, I said, "Oh, this is not going to end well. This is going to end like five picks." And he wasn't perfect. He threw a couple picks with 380 yards, three touchdowns. I give the Dolphins credit. You know, they're not always the most impressive team, but they win, and they're playing the Lions this week. So God knows they could win this week. But yeah, look, if Osweiler can play anywhere near that, they're going to have a shot in a lot of these games. The schedule's not that tough.
Yeah.
Now, being in Chicago, is there an additional buzz? I mean, it's not like Tom Brady and the team comes into town every week.
I think there's a buzz around the fact they lost to Miami, and now it's almost this expectation like they have to win.
Yeah.
I think if they were 4-1, there'd be more of this idea of, well, if they lose this week, it's 4-2. It's not that big of a deal. You move forward. Now they're 3-2, and Minnesota starting to play a little bit better. Detroit, again, at Miami, a winnable game for both sides. You know, the Packers, they pull it out against the Niners. So I think there is this thought that, hey, even though, you know, it's Tom Brady and it's New England and everybody knows how great they are, if you're the Bears, you're a Bears fan, you're saying, we have to win this game. We have to find a way to win. So there's a lot of almost anxiety around that game because I think most people feel New England's a better team. But can that Bears defense rise up? They're at home. It's a little bit colder. It's starting to feel like, hey, not so much a playoff picture type game yet, but it's starting to, the season's starting to kind of fall into place a little bit.
Matt Verderam, NFL Director, fansided.com, with us on The Huddle, as every Thursday at this time on 101.3 The Game. I do want to go back to a degree to the Kansas City game. What happened to Gronk in that game? Ineffective and not even targeted much throughout the game, and then ends up with two big catches late in that game. Why was he able to spring free late? Why was he ineffective early?
Well, if you look at the film, what the Chiefs did was they mixed up their looks with him to some degree. They were trying to bracket him a lot of the time. That being said, I do wonder if there's something wrong with maybe his knee or his leg. He's just not running as fast as he has previously. And in that game, the Chiefs were down to their fourth and fifth safeties, and they were able to run with him one-on-one a lot of times in the game. What happened late was New England was smart enough to basically force Kansas City into a man-on-man situation. The Chiefs in that situation were down to their fifth safety, and Josh Shaw, who had never played before in his life with the Chiefs before that game, and they got him in a one-on-one spot. Gronk was able to have a big play deep down the field to put Gronk, to put Gostkowski, rather, into position for the field goal. But look, I think it's a combination of either something's wrong or he's slowing down a little bit, and the Chiefs were definitely making sure that he wasn't going to beat him early, and then Belichick and McDaniel late were able to dial up a few plays, and they declared him in man-to-man, and Kansas City couldn't cover.
Well, the Patriots don't have like 2 months to prepare for this game like they normally do, that's for sure. That Chicago defense didn't look that great against Miami. They did a pretty good job against Khalil Mack. I thought the Dolphins did. Are the Patriots going to do that same great job against Mack?
I think New England's going to be smart enough to run the ball and to throw the ball quickly, get rid of the ball, get it out of Brady's hands. Look, Vic Fangio is a very good defensive coordinator with the Bears. Very good. One of the top two or three in the league. And I'm sure he's going to say, look, let's sit short. Let's force him to go deep down the field. The Bears have some pretty good corners. They got a really underrated pair of safeties and Amos and Jackson. Mack, I'm curious to see how hampered he is by this ankle injury. He didn't practice yesterday. So that's a concern. I think the plan is going to be get the ball out quick, get some yards after the catch, move down the field kind of at a methodical pace. And I think New England's going to be able to do it. Look, I think the Bears have a really solid defense, but I think got a little bit crazy the hype with it. When they've played decent offenses this year outside of the Tampa Bay game, at times they've struggled. The Green Bay game, a perfect example, early. So look, I think the Bears are a good team, but I think the Bears, to win this game, are going to have to score upper 20s, low 30s, and I don't know that I trust Trubisky to do
that. And what is it the Bears do well offensively?
The Bears are really good running football. They're also, they will play a very similar style to the Chiefs in terms of the way they play because Nagy's their head coach now. He came over from the Andy Reid school. They have a lot of speed. They like to run. They like to stretch you out horizontally. They like to take the occasional deep shot. They're not going to go as deep as often as Kansas City. The Trubisky just simply doesn't have the same skill set Holmes does. But Tariq Cohen, kind of a poor man's Tyreek Hill, and he's a running back, but they'll deploy him all over the field. Jordan Howard is a very good back. The Bears don't have a great line, but the line interiorly is very good from the guards to the center. So look for the Bears, sort of run the ball, swing the ball out to Cohen, get the ball out to Taylor Gabriel, who's been targeted a lot. Trey Burton, their tight end, he's an athletic guy. He's a fast guy. They're going to try to utilize their speed to create mismatches. They're not a team that takes a ton of deep shots. They're more a team that's going to try to get the ball in their playmaker's hands in space and then get them out and hopefully break a tackle and get up the field.
Matt, we're close to the point where we can't even talk about the Giants unless something big happens. So for one more week,
you're
at least,
at that point.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I'll ask you about this now. They're playing Atlanta on Monday Night Football. It feels like this is probably the last chance for their offense to really have a real good chance to succeed without being even more turmoil than usual, because Atlanta fast track, an extra day to prepare. Atlanta's all sorts of banged up. Their defense is horrendous. Tell me the Giants should be able to do something Monday.
They should, but they won't, because they basically folded the tent and quit on Thursday night when they were busy beating up sideline equipment and getting beat by 30 on national television. Like, I think they'll move the ball some, because you mentioned Atlanta's missing a million guys. Both their starting safeties are out for the year. Deion Jones, who's a phenomenal linebacker, he's out. Grady Jarrett's been in and out of the lineup for them. So I think the Giants will move the ball. The problem is Eli Manning doesn't throw the ball more than 3 inches at a time. I mean, at some point, he's just got to go down the field and hell with it. He gets picked off 4 times, fine, because you're not moving the ball anyway. You're not doing anything anyway. I think they're going to score, 20 points in the game, but I don't think they're going to stop Atlanta. Atlanta, even though the receiver's a little banged up right now, obviously Freeman is on IR now, they're still going to move the ball. Ryan's having a really good year. Julio Jones, despite being allergic to the end zone, has over 700 receiving yards. So, look, the Giants, I don't know what is – well, I mean, film-wise, we could go into what's wrong with them, but I think it's more of a mental issue with the Giants. They need to change the culture in that team in the worst way.
Matt, we'll get you out of here on this. What's the most surprising thing you saw in film? And FYI, the only acceptable answer is the Seahawks now have a good offensive line.
Well, I'm actually going to talk about that game. But what I was going to say was, I'll give you guys a stat that is impossible to believe but is accurate. In the game in London between the Raiders and the Seahawks, of all the completed passes that Derek Carr threw, the average of them traveled 0.1 yards in the air.
Wow.
What?
I mean, I'll say it again. Of all the of Carr's completed passes in that game, the average distance the ball was in the air was 0.1 yards, a tenth of a yard.
Wow.
That's the Oakland Raiders.
That's not even a choice.
And if you think about that, that's impossible.
That's like a centimeter.
He throws one ball 5 yards.
Yeah.
More than half of his completed passes were behind the line of scrimmage,
okay,
and the rest of them were all within 5 yards.
Open up that offense. Matt Verderam, NFL Director and Fansided. Always a pleasure, Matt. Enjoy the games this week. We'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks a lot, guys. Take
all right.